that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And the ending verses here of Hebrews chapter 12 says, wherefore, we receiving the kingdom. And that's what defines the kingdom. The king. This morning we've come under the kingdom, under the church of the king, in the presence of the king. And wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's my desire this morning and for us this entire weekend, that having been provided with such great accommodation, that we might serve Him acceptably.
Yeah.
And I submit to you this morning, if we didn't have this accommodation prepared for us, we couldn't serve Him acceptably. We could gather together and we could try, but if the Lord hadn't provided the kingdom, if the Lord Himself didn't sit and reign as the King, Jesus, we couldn't serve Him acceptably. Last night, I feel like the Lord blessed us to serve Him acceptably. Brother Hewlin taught us about some things that are impossible for God. And you know, if someone were to itemize things that are impossible for me, and Brother Hewlin did a little bit of that too, wouldn't seem like it'd be something that I would think would speak very highly of me or very well of me. But Brother Hewlin showed us that the things that are impossible for God are things we ought to thank Him for. Thankful for some of the things that are impossible for Him. We have a promise of God even this morning that where two or three are gathered together in His name, that He's already there in their midst. It's impossible for us to gather together in His name except He be in our midst. And I trust this morning we've come with that desire for worship and fellowship together. And it warms my heart. I'm so thankful that each of you are here with us. We warmly welcome our visitors and appreciate the effort that you've made to be with us this morning. This morning we've got, earlier this morning, one of the brothers here at Little Vine, in a very cautionary tone, said it looks like we may have more preachers than people in the pews this morning. And I said, that's not a very good thing. but what I found by my own experience is that as a preacher, I need to hear preaching, and I think I trust that these servants have come with messages on their hearts, but I know from my own experience that they stand in need of hearing preaching. I'll go out on a limb here. They have me outnumbered, but I'll say worse.
Yeah.
We need to hear preaching as bad or worse.
Yeah.
And I don't mean I want to hear bad preaching. I mean I want to hear preaching and I want to hear bad. Yeah. I need it. And I think we each can be strengthened in the fellowship we have one with another and the rejoicing that we have to hear so great a name proclaimed by those that love it. I have asked Elder Anthony Blevins to go first this morning. He'll be followed by Elder Mark Brown. And these two mean a great deal to me, and I won't take any of the time that belongs to them this morning to tell you how much they mean to me, and just hope that I can show them and have in the past and will continue to. But I feel blessed of the Lord that they're here with us this morning. You know them and have experienced a blessing from their preaching before, but you also know they stand in need. Great need this morning, that the Lord would provide them that they stand in need of and that you stand in need of this morning. I'd like to ask Brother Elder Vince Hardy to lead us in prayer this morning. And as we said last night, as he leads us in prayer, it means we'll be following in prayer. So let us all pray together for the many blessings that we've experienced, the things that we still know that without the Lord we have no hope of, and for the services this morning, that the Lord would bless these servants as he's blessed the song service so early.
As we stand here for a little bit, I would ask you not to quit praying. I would ask that you would continue to pray. My purpose for standing here is to hopefully, if God will give us utterance of speech, to bring some things to your pure mind, even as ye are pure. To bring some things that, if God would have it, that would edify you in the most holy faith of God, but most of all, would be glorifying to the one who saves.
Amen.
I was thinking as your songs went up this morning to the Lord, and you know, we trust we're not singing to each other, even though it's pretty. But I trust that we remember that it's being offered up in the form of praise to the Lord God. It's a testament, your testament this morning is the testament of the love, Chris, which abides in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know why sometimes that the Lord of all creation would allow this unworthy piece of that creation to sit in the midst of the kingdom of God gathered together as the militant church of Jesus Christ. I don't know why. I can only trust this morning that the Lord loved me as much as He has loved you with an everlasting love which shall never die. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, it pleased Him to do that. But it also it pleased Him that we might be to the praise of the glory of His grace. If I have anything to bring to you this morning, it's not something you don't already know. But I trust that we have felt it and known before that we, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the light in the world. Christ told us on one occasion, He says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But when I go away, ye are the light of the world. I bring to your attention this morning, brothers and sisters, that if there is any light in this old world, it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For she bears witness of that light which shined in darkness. She bears witness of her precious husband who sits and reigns at the right hand of the power of the majesty of God. You, the people who are the saints according to the will of God, who have been called to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, are the manifestation of the spiritual kingdom of God here in the world. And my brothers and sisters, I can think of no better place to have spent a portion of my life than to be in the midst of God's people. I'd like for us to look for just a minute or two at the Ephesian letter, on where I tried as best as I know how, and not very good at quoting. But I tried to say to you that you are, in the sixth verse, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. I couldn't say any better than this book does, and as most clearly as it is spelled out for us, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Oh, can you see Him this morning? Can you see Him when He hangs suspended between heaven and earth? Brother Billy, can you see Him there with the nails driven through His hand and His feet? Can you see Him there with a crown of thorns upon His head? Can you see Him there straining against the pain as He hung there and suffered? We don't know Christ after the flesh anymore, But I look back and remember those things. And I am thankful this morning that as He has made us to have redeemed us through His blood. He shed His blood for us that we might have life and might have it more abundantly here as we live right here. And thanks be to God, as it says, that it is according to the riches of His grace. Will I frustrate or shall I frustrate the grace of God by then turning to my works? I say to you this morning that the church is to bear witness of the works of Christ. And when we think of the things of good, when we say that we are made unto Christ Jesus for the maintenance of good works, Do we do it according, or do we think according to the grace of God? Or do we think what is good in our own sight? Let us remember that this book that we have that God most graciously left for our learning and for our understanding, that we might know the right way. I know that the Spirit of God is necessary for us to do good things. But I also know this, that you've been, how are we that are dead to sin and continue any longer therein? The maintenance of good works. Now, when I say to you good works, I mean the good works according to the Scriptures of God. We were left two commandments as though it were one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and as thyself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. So what's the good works we're talking about here in the Word? To love the Lord. Keep His commandments. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now we often would wonder, well, what kind of form should that take? What kind of forms should these good works take? When we feel the Spirit of God in our heart, it's real easy. It's real easy in the midst of God's people, right in the middle of them, to think how precious and how good it is and how good we feel. And that we could just do good works day in and day out and there'd never be a problem. That's an easy thing when we're caught up together in those heavenly places. But when we step out of those heavenly places, and occasionally we do, when we forget what manner of man we are, we begin to start thinking about doing things our way. We begin to start thinking that maybe if I'll do this and I'll do that, that maybe I'll be doing a good thing. Well, let me tell you, my friends, if it's not of the Spirit, it is not a good thing. I don't know how to say any plainer. If it's not of the Spirit of God, it is not a good thing. And if it is not, see, this bears witness. This Word bears witness in earth. The Spirit bears witness. And the Spirit bears witness of this right here. And you can find it here. For this book that you've been given by the grace of God, this book right here is good. It's profitable. It means it shall bring forth things within you as the Spirit gives unction. And I'm telling you now, if God is our helper, that it's good for all our instruction. It's good when we need to be reproved again. when something needs to be shown to us again, reproved. It's good for doctrine. That's teaching. Oh, it's good for the house of God. For doctrine. And I, as much as is within me, and I know it's not of myself, but I say within me, in that inward man, I desire to say those things which are pleasing to God in doctrine. Not to make up some kind of thing that might sound like good doctrine, but if I can bear it up with this book, if I can stay with the book, I've heard that since I was a child. Stay with the book. You see, when we stay with the book, we don't start looking at a lot of other men's inventions that appear to be good works, but bring nothing but death and hurt and pain. By looking at what the Lord has given us in love, we recognize that it is very, very hard to be covetous of our neighbor when we love. I'm not covetous, I trust, this morning of any elder's gift. As we sit, all of us know each other, and as we sit here this morning, I'm not covetous of their of each one's gift. But it's for the furtherance of the church of Jesus Christ that those gifts are given. For the perfecting of the saints until we come in the unity of the faith. I believe there's going to come a time when all of us are on the same page. I believe that, and I believe when Christ comes, we're going to be on the same page. We're not going to be wondering about this interpretation or that interpretation. But we're told to stay away from fables. The Church of Jesus Christ, I'm talking to them that believe. And we're told to stay away from these endless genealogies. We're told to stay away from those things which gender strife. But we are as those who would love one another and reason together. And I say the only way that that's done is through the Holy Spirit and an understanding of this word. May God help us as the church to recognize and understand that what He says, He says. And what He don't say, you better leave it alone. I remember some of those elders, Brother Hewlett, as I was coming along. And you know, as a younger man, I didn't quite understand. I believed what they were telling me. Stay with the book. It's good for the house of God. It's good for you. I didn't understand that part. That it was good for me and the house of God as a younger minister, trying to minister, not understanding a lot of things. And I'm not going to tell you I know a whole lot yet. If the Lord will let me stay around a while, maybe He'll teach me some more. But it is for the edification of the church. You are the kingdom of God that is manifested here in this world. I say, let us live like it. Let us follow in those things which are good. Let us follow in the spiritual leading, or the leading of the Spirit of God. I used to hear that all the time when I was younger. Say, you know, when I was a little younger, I said, and I'm even guilty of saying it and really not understanding it. Somebody say, well, if the Lord leads me, I'll be over there. And if the Lord leads me to go over here, well, I'll go over here. And, you know, and I've even said that. And then I felt condemned after doing what I felt like the Spirit was leading me to do. I don't believe the Lord condemns you for doing what the Spirit leads you to do. But you can, but if you decide that if you're thinking in terms of this natural carnal mind, I'm telling you, it's going to find, you're going to find condemnation from that. And that's not good. In other words, those things which are good don't exist there. I'm going to wind this up very quickly. I'd like to go back over here and read something to you out of Titus, and I don't know if I'll even make any remarks about it. But it says in the last week, I tried to speak a little on this, and of course things don't leave your mind so quick. Well, it'd be a good thing, I suppose. Still, it's still the Word of God. It's still the same. Whether I can say anything about it, God says it best. It says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. These are attributes. He may adorn. When we are to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope, which we know one day, when that which is seen is no longer hope, but at this present time, we look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, zealous of those things which show forth the love of Jesus Christ from breast to breast, preferring one another in all godliness, preferring and seeking after the affection or seeking after those things which would bring of my brother even more things than myself, putting him ahead of myself. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. You see, the Word is its authority. I don't need a reference for the Word. It's its own reference. Am I right? Mm-hmm. It speaks with authority, even as our Lord spake, as no man had ever spoken before, of one who spoke as one having power. Authority! You see, let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers. Did it say make allegiance? It says let us remember to be unsubject to the principalities as they stand and powers and obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. This I say is one of my greater failings as I have attempted to try to minister God's people. I'm not always very kind. Sometimes, Brother Hugh, I get pretty mean doctrine. Don't I, Brother Mark? Mark always accused me of hitting on him. when I get wild and on this doctrine, he accused me of hitting him. No. The Word is its own authority, and sometimes we're not at all that way. When we're dealing with those who are outside and not in the faith, as we understand it to be, let us be kind. Let us be gentle, showing forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not being attackers, but being staunch in the defense of the gospel. You don't have to be offensive to be defensive or to stand in defense. Because your gospel, this word that has been given to us, is the defense. I don't need to prop it up. It is the defense. Says, showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Oh, here's the beautiful part. But after that, the kindness of the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas, I realize the power of the message. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And watch this. Do you feel a kindredship with one another? I trust that you do by the holy power, the Spirit and power of God. He says, and let ours learn. Brother Mark, let ours learn. Good point, I think the apostle's making here. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. You see, I salute you. That is a salute of love and kindredship. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Why do you go to church? Is now my question. So you can be make sure that you performed all your duties this week? Or is it because the love of God constrains you to do so? You see, one is a good work, and the other one is a work that we begin to start thinking carnally about. Remember, when we do good works, let us try the Spirit. And some people don't understand that, you know, a thought is a spirit. It's a ghost. And thoughts that are of man are spirits that are familiar to man, but not to God. Let us try the spirit, whether they be of God. God bless you, my brother.
Amen.